Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Two Money Owls a Day, Living on Almost Nothing in America by Catherine J. Eden investigates a form of hardship that often remains invisible in national debates. Families surviving on extremely low and unstable incomes. Drawing on social science research and on-the-ground reporting, the book examines how policy changes, low-wage labor markets, and fragile safety net access can leave households with days when cash income effectively drops to almost nothing. Eden focuses on the daily trade-offs that follow, from paying rent versus keeping the lights on to choosing between transportation and food. Rather than treating poverty as a single number, the book highlights volatility, insecurity, and the constant problem-solving required to get through the month. It also explores how communities, informal economies, and strained public systems respond when basic needs go unmet. The result is a close look at the lived experience behind statistics and a challenge to assumptions about who poor families are, how they cope, and what kind of help actually reaches them. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the rise of extreme poverty in a high-income country. A central topic is the emergence of households living at the edge of cashlessness, where income can dip to the equivalent of $2 per person per day. The book frames this not as an isolated anomaly, but as a measurable and growing condition shaped by economic and policy forces. It explains how low-wage work, reduced hours, and unpredictable schedules can make earnings collapse without warning, especially for parents trying to balance childcare with employment. It also connects extreme hardship to changes in public assistance, including stricter eligibility rules, administrative barriers, and time limits that can make help intermittent or inaccessible. By emphasizing income volatility rather than annual averages, the narrative shows how a family can appear employed or housed, yet still experience days with no money for food, transportation, or necessities. The topic clarifies why traditional poverty measures can miss the severity of material deprivation, and why cash income, not just program participation, matters. It also highlights how sudden expenses, fees, and minor crises can cascade into rent arrears, utility shoot-offs, and eviction risk. In presenting extreme poverty as a systemic outcome, the book pushes readers to reconsider the assumption that the safety net reliably prevents destitution. Secondly, how the safety net can fail in practice. Another major topic is the gap between the idea of a social safety net and the reality many families face when they try to use it. The book explores how assistance programs can be difficult to access due to paperwork burdens, frequent recertification, transportation barriers, and limited office hours that conflict with work. Even when benefits exist, they may arrive late, fluctuate, or be interrupted by sanctions and compliance requirements, creating periods when households have no effective support. The discussion also examines how different programs interact, sometimes producing cliffs where small increases in earnings reduce aid faster than income rises, leaving families worse off. The book pays attention to the difference between in-kind benefits and cash, explaining why households can still lack money for bus fare, diapers, laundry, or emergencies, even if they receive food assistance. It also considers the role of local variation, administrative discretion, and uneven availability of community resources. Importantly, the topic highlights that navigating aid can itself be a form of labor, requiring time, literacy, stable communication, and emotional stamina. By showing the practical obstacles rather than just program rules, the book helps explain how extremely low-income days can occur even in a country with multiple assistance systems. Thirdly, survival strategies, informal work, and constant trade-offs, the book devotes significant attention to how families actually survive when formal income and public support do not cover basic needs. It details a range of coping strategies that may include informal work, odd jobs, recycling, small-scale selling, and other forms of improvised earning. It also examines reliance on kin networks, friends, and neighbors for shared housing, childcare swaps, meals, and short-term loans, while acknowledging that these networks are often strained because everyone is operating with limited resources. The topic emphasizes the punishing arithmetic of daily decisions, choosing which bills to delay, stretching food, managing transportation, and prioritizing children's needs while sacrificing adult essentials. It considers how scarcity shapes time and attention, forcing people into constant crisis management that undermines long-term planning. The book also addresses the risks built into survival tactics, including exposure to unstable arrangements, predatory fees, and situations where a single setback can trigger a downward spiral. Rather than presenting poor families as passive, it portrays them as active problem solvers in a system that offers few stable footholds. The result is a nuanced view of resilience that does not romanticize hardship, but clarifies why escape from extreme poverty is so difficult when every week demands emergency-level decisions. Fourthly, housing insecurity, family stability, and the costs of being poor. A further key topic is the way extreme poverty reshapes family life through housing instability and the high costs attached to scarcity. The book explores how rent, utilities, and basic household needs consume a disproportionate share of income for low-wage families, leaving little margin for error. It shows how late fees, reconnection charges, overdraft penalties, and high-interest borrowing can turn small shortfalls into chronic debt. Housing insecurity is portrayed as both a cause and a consequence of extreme deprivation. Missed payments can lead to eviction, while unstable housing can disrupt work, schooling, and access to services. The topic also considers how living arrangements become fluid, with families doubling up, moving frequently, or entering temporary accommodations that strain relationships and expose children to stress. These conditions can complicate childcare and make maintaining employment harder, reinforcing the cycle. The book draws attention to how policies and markets often assume stable addresses, reliable transportation, and flexible time, while the lived reality is constant movement and urgent triage. By focusing on the cumulative costs of being poor, the narrative clarifies that hardship is not only about low income, but about the expensive penalties imposed by instability itself. Lastly, policy implications and what meaningful support could look like. The final major topic centers on what the evidence suggests about reducing extreme poverty and strengthening economic security. The book uses its findings to question whether current approaches adequately address cash shortfalls, volatile work, and family needs. It points toward the importance of reliable income supports that are easier to access, less punitive, and responsive to fluctuations, alongside labor policies that reduce schedule unpredictability and raise earnings. The discussion highlights how program design choices, such as sanctions, complicated reporting requirements, and fragmented benefit systems, can inadvertently increase instability. It also suggests that effective solutions must account for real constraints like childcare availability, transportation, and the administrative burden placed on recipients. The book encourages readers to think in practical terms about what would prevent a family from hitting a day with no money, including predictable assistance timing, simplified eligibility, and supports that cover unavoidable expenses beyond food. It also underscores the value of measuring poverty in ways that capture deep deprivation and volatility, so the policy can target the most severe hardship. By linking lived experience to systemic reforms, this topic frames the book as both diagnosis and a prompt for public debate about dignity, opportunity, and the responsibilities of a wealthy society. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who want a grounded understanding of modern American poverty, including students and educators, policymakers and advocates, journalists, and anyone trying to make sense of why hardship persists even when jobs and assistance programs exist. It is also valuable for general readers who suspect that common narratives about poverty are incomplete and want a clearer picture of daily life under severe constraint. The benefit to the reader is both practical and civic. It builds empathy without sentimentality, sharpens the ability to evaluate claims about welfare, work, and personal responsibility, and reveals how instability and administrative friction can shape outcomes as powerfully as wages do. Compared with many books that treat poverty primarily through statistics or ideology, this one stands out for connecting research to real-world coping strategies and to the unintended consequences of policy design. It helps readers see why cash flow, timing, and volatility matter, and why small barriers can produce large harms. For those choosing among similar titles, it offers a distinctive focus on extreme poverty and the mechanisms that create days of near-zero income, making it a worthwhile purchase for anyone seeking insight that can inform voting, philanthropy, service delivery, or community action. If you would like to support Catherine J. Eden, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.